We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, part two of today's show, we are going to roll into our sophomore surges, okay? And we were talking about, okay, what do we want our second topic to be today? And as we're talking about practice, we kept talking about the sophomores and kind of the way they're impacting not only practice, but the way that they are continuing to impact and how they'll need to impact this team if Notre Dame is going to be in the conversation in segment number three. Where we're talking about top 10 and, you know, national title contenders.
That's really where it starts, Vince, is whether they are ready or are not ready, they need to be ready. Right. And the premise being, I don't know if this football team can be as good as it can be without this class playing a lot and playing well. And it's really everywhere. And we'll dive into more specifics, but – you know, this is the first full recruiting class that Marcus Freeman landed
as a head coach.
It was a recruiting class that you and I felt was a very underrated class. I argue to people that I don't care what anybody says, this is a top five caliber recruiting class. I really felt that. Now, you've seen some departures. You know, Braylon James is gone. Rico Flores is gone. But for the most part, the class is still intact. And you're seeing guys step up in places where they don't have to necessarily step up, and you're seeing guys step up in places where they are. But to begin with, here's just the reality. It's never ideal to be here, but this is the reality. Notre Dame cannot reach its full potential this season if the 2023 class is not ready to make a relatively significant impact on this football team. And I'm not talking about even in the two deep. I'm talking about not only starters, but that guy's got to be a dude.
Yeah.
And that's, right. I mean, that's really where you come from, because right now, I mean, offensively, for example, we're projecting at least three sophomores to start, at least three, right? At running back and I'm talking true sophomores, not there. If we went into the redshirt sophomore conversation,
yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Like if Notre Dame tracked their players the way that other teams do, you're talking about over half their starting lineup on offense is either going to be a sophomore or redshirt sophomore, if I'm doing my math correctly, because you're going to have Jaden Greathouse. You're going to have Jeremiah Love or Jadarian Price.
Either one.
You're going to have Charles Jagasaw, Billy Shrouth, and Ashton Craig are all there, right? So three offensive linemen. And then as of right now, with Mitchell Evans out, your first tight end on the field every day is Cooper Flanagan, who's a true sophomore.
Yeah.
But we're more focusing on just the true sophomores and redshirt freshman guys. And defensively, Vince, it's the same way. It's Drake Bowen's got to make an impact this year. You know, Boubacar is going to get his chance to shine this year. Christian Gray, you talked about it. Don, I mean, your entire safety depth chart outside of 2 5th-year seniors is sophomores.
Yeah.
That's your and freshmen. That's your entire depth chart. And again, we go back to it's going to be hard for this football team to be the team they're capable of without the sophomore class stepping up. The only position that I can think of, Vince, where the sophomore class doesn't have to impact the team this year, it's really one on each side of the ball, quarterback and defensive line. I don't think they have to impact the team at quarterback because you have Riley Leonard, you have Steve Angeli, you have CJ Carr. So you don't have to get Kenny Minchie to play this year. Now, if he does, great. If he's right. ready and he's that good and he beats people out, that's great. But he doesn't have to. You need your sophomores to step up a receiver. You're going to need your sophomores to be ready to go at tight end. And same thing at linebacker. Same thing in the secondary. These are same thing at running back. These are things that have to happen if this team is going to reach its full potential. And on top of that, Vince, it's not even just starters and depth. Here's the third layer to that. Who are most of your playmakers? On offense, a lot of the guys we're all expecting to be the top, and I didn't even talk about Jordan Faison,
yeah,
who wasn't even out there today. But if we're talking more big picture, Jordan Faison's another guy to throw in this conversation that we're having today.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So when you look at this team, you say, can this offense really be a championship caliber offense without Jeremiah Love, without Jaden Greathouse, without Jordan Faison, without Charles Jagasol, without Cooper Flanagan? I don't know that it can. It'll be a little tougher, especially, you know, with Jagasol and Jeremiah Love. I mean, yeah, you're still going to be pretty good at running back, but with him and Price, you've got yourself a heck of a 1-2 punch. So that's really where it begins with me, Vince, on offense. That position, and then you look at linebacker, and you look at safety, and you look at corner. These are positions where Notre Dame can't afford for their recruiting efforts with that 23 class not to be home runs. I mean, that's really where they are. But can I say one bit of good news, Vince? As I kick it to you, the one bit of good news to everybody, we just laid out kind of a dire thing. Like, if true sophomores don't step up, this team could be in trouble. But here's why we decided to talk about this today. Because we're watching practice today saying, these kids are freaking good. You know, like, they look like they're at least, yeah, for where we are right now, this class as a whole looks like it's answering the bell.
Right.
Or at least it's ready to answer the bell, Vince.
Well, and we've had conversations like this in the past, like, okay, this class has to step up. You know, this class has to do this. This class has to do that if Notre Dame is going to be who we think they should be. We've had these discussions. The difference has been, it's all been hypothetical. Right. At the time of the conversation, it's been hypothetical. It's like, well, you know, we think that this person can do this, and we think that this person can do this, but we're seeing empirical evidence at practice of this class showing up and showing out. That's the thing. And we haven't even had an opportunity to really see this class, you know, do what we know that they can do, what we think that they can do. But man, every time we do these practice reports, or every time you and I are sitting there and we're watching practice and we're watching these guys do their thing, and it's like, okay, that kid's a sophomore. That kid's a sophomore. And okay, this kid's balling out right now, and he's a sophomore. And that's what kind of drew us to this topic in the first place in April, by the way. This is not a normal conversation for April. It's just not. And so us having this conversation today was purposeful because of what we saw and what we have seen at practice. Obviously, last year as true freshmen, okay, there's, you know, glimmer of hope. There's some light there, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But now they're taking the baton and they're running with it, literally and figuratively. And this class has the opportunity to be special. And they're about ready to put this team on their back and take them, you know, to some rarefied air, I guess is the best way to put it. And it's exciting.
Right. Hopefully. Like, yeah. Like, think about, I mean, we how much have we talked about, man, Jeremiah Love looks really good. Goodness, yeah, gracious. You know, and he's a sophomore. And Jadarian Price is more of a traditional redshirt sophomore in that he missed a whole year with an injury. So he's really a second year player as well. So you could really, sure, throw Jadarian in there in ways that I wouldn't throw some other redshirt sophomores who just redshirted.
Right.
You know, like Jadarian missed a whole season because of the Achilles injury where he wasn't, right, practicing. He wasn't, you know.
He wasn't even full go at the beginning of last year. You know what I mean? It, exactly, was a slow.
And even all year that he was limited in his opportunities.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah. And then you look at receiver and you're just like, dude, the most impressive receiver that we've seen so far by far is Jade Greathouse. But it's like in past years, we've had this conversation about how one guy's just way better than everybody else. And usually it's followed by, you know, because,
yeah,
he better step up because what's after him ain't great.
Right.
This is different because it's like, right, it's Greathouse, it's Faison, it's KK Smith. But, but Deion Colsey's having a good spring so far from what we've been able to see. Chris, sure, Mitchell looks as good as advertised. You know, I mean, it's Jaden Harrison's actually a little bit better than I thought he was going to be.
I agree.
A natural wide receiver. I knew he could return kicks.
I thought he was going to be a returner only.
Right. Kind of a deal. And so it's not like, oh, gee, they don't have anyone else. So hopefully Jaden Greathouse figures it out. It's like, dude, I've been impressed with the athleticism. And I didn't even talk about the freshman. I've been impressed with the athleticism of a receiver. But this dude, number 19, is just every day I'm out there is just clearly their best receiver. And so you're like, well, that's great. Can he carry that over into the season?
Right.
The good news is before the injury, he looked like he could be that guy. I mean, he had 4 touchdowns in his first 5 games last year.
Right, right.
And that catch against NC State was one of the best. We talked about it being one of the best throws that Sam Hartman made all year. That was a heck of a catch by Jaden Greathouse too. And then Cooper Flanagan is doing well. Charles Jagasol is got to play well this year. He's the left tackle replacing your All-American. So when you look at the offense, Vince, your best players in certain situations are going to be this sophomore class. And so it's not only impactful in that regard, but it also tells us a little something about this coaching staff's ability to evaluate and recruit as well, to be able to get the Jeremiah Loves, to be able to get the Jaden Greathouses and get the K.K. Smiths and the Charles Jagasols and the Cooper Flanagans. Not that they made great evaluation of those guys, because you're like, well, duh. But, like, they went after some big fish and got some big fish, and we're seeing those kids make an impact. And they're making an impact partly because they have to, which that makes you nervous. But the thing that gives you the whew is that when you're out there, you're like, yeah, they'd have played no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing that gets you fired up, right? Like, yeah, they need Jaden Greathouse to play, but it's like, but he would have done it anyway
because
that looks that good.
Right.
You know, same thing with Christian Gray. There are older players that the whole big reason why I think Clarence Lewis is gone is because he got passed up by Christian Gray in 5 minutes. This is a kid that started for Notre Dame in a playoff season, started for Notre Dame in another year where they went 11-2. And he got passed up in 5 minutes by Christian Gray. And now Christian, just in practice, you're almost like, I thought Benjamin Morrison was hurt. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, sorry. That's Christian Gray.
Yeah, they gave him another number.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, I've said this before, but he looks so much like Benjamin as a player, at build wise, athletically, confidence wise, instincts. And that's the thing that I think Mike Mickens doesn't get enough credit for. He finds athletic players, but if you noticed, most of the corners he recruits are there's exceptions. Micah Bell's kind of raw and he needs to learn, but like you look at Christian Gray, Jade Mickey, Benjamin Morrison, Leonard Moore, these are super high IQ football players as well that just really understand how to play the position. So, and then defensively, like, yeah, it's great that Christian looks good, Vince, but they need him to. They need him to be ready to play even before the injuries happen. They need Drake Bowen to step up and be good. They can't afford for him not to. They need you. You talked about a Don Schuler. They need a Don to step up, and they need at least one other guy from the sophomore class, whether it's Ben Minnick or whether it's Luke Talich. I don't care which one it is. They need one of those guys to step up and play. And so when you look at, and then Micah Bell, he is the depth that right now in the nickel.
Yeah.
So your secondary cannot once again be one of the best in college football if your sophomore class isn't ready to go. And so far,
that's a good point,
Vince. I like that was, and you and I talked about this before spring. That was one of my big concerns. Like, dude, they need a lot of guys, that young guys to play. And you and I have always said this. I don't have any problem playing a freshman. I don't have any problem playing a sophomore, but you never want to be in a situation where you have to play those guys.
Exactly.
You want it to be because this. You want it to be because of what it was last year. Why did Christian Gray play last year? Did they need him to play? No. They had Cam Hart. They had Benjamin Morrison. They had Jaden Mickey. They had Clarence Lewis. They had Chance Tucker. They had Ryan Barnes. It was very clear right away, just like it was when Benjamin showed up, that dude's better than all those guys. And so he earned that. With some of these other guys, it's like, well, is Drake really going to be good enough to play? Is Adon Shuler really going to be, good enough to play? Is Luke Talich really going to be good enough to play? Is Micah Bell really going to be good enough to play? We knew Christian was.
Yeah.
But all those other guys were question marks. We love the talent, but we got to see what they can do. The encouraging thing for me is, Vince, through these first half, we're about halfway through spring ball now.
Yeah.
Is so far from what we've seen, these kids are as good as advertised. And the defense, I think you could argue, even more than the offense, has an even greater need. Outside of Charles Jagasol, I think you could survive and still be pretty good without the sophomore class balling out. What I said was is they can't reach their full potential without the sophomore class balling out. But if they go into the season and your running back room is Jadarian Price, Jabron Payne, Kedron Young, and Aeneas Williams, and your receiving core is Deon Colsey, Jaden Thomas, Chris Mitchell, Jaden Harrison, Cam Williams, and Micah Gilbert, and your tight ends are Mitchell Evans and Eli Raridan, you're like, that's still a pretty good team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But so you could still be here, but you can't be here without them. Defensively, it's an even greater need, in my opinion.
Oh, especially at the second and third level.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're all counting on Drake Bowen being the starting Mike linebacker in a very linebacker-centered defense, okay? Because Al Golden is the defensive coordinator. He's a linebacker's coach. And if Drake Bowen is going to be that guy, and that's who everybody thinks is going to be that guy, if you don't have him, you're in trouble. I mean, you're in trouble because my guess is they would probably drop to Kaiser being the Mike, and yeah. I don't think that's where you want to be. You know what
At
I
least
mean?
Right now. I don't right. know that they would feel great about putting Kingston there yet.
Fair enough. But
that, but let's say it is Kingston. But Vince, to your point, now you're in a position where you have to play a freshman.
Right. And that's never where you want to be. Right. That's never where you want to be, ever. And we talked about that yesterday. Like, that is not, as a coach, that is not where you want to be. And if a freshman breaks through, then great. That's fantastic. Right. Then you play that and you go there and you do whatever you got to do because best player plays. But no, you're in trouble if that's the case. And then obviously in the secondary, if you're just, you know, getting out the eraser and you're erasing the true sophomores, man, all of a sudden your depth in the secondary is almost zero, especially with Benjamin Morrison on the shelf here in the spring. I mean, your depth is about zero, which is obviously not good. And so this sophomore class is so incredibly important to this team from a depth standpoint and from a high-level playing standpoint, right? You may not – I mean, there's a chance that not one true sophomore plays in the secondary as a starter to begin the season. It's possible, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't have those guys as depth and rotation pieces, you're in big trouble. You're in big, big trouble. If you don't have Christian Gray, you're in trouble. You don't have Jaden Mickey, you're in trouble. And if you don't have a Don Shuler and what we think he's probably going to end up being to this team next year, I'm always in the middle of next year and this year, but in the fall
it's
of
next
24,
year, we're not through that season yet. We're in the
all
spring.
All right, fair enough. If you don't have him, then I think you're in trouble.
If we're talking sophomores in general, Vince, if it's Xavier Watts, Rod Hurd, and the freshman, That's what's in between.
Yeah, so
the sophomore class is all that's in between those.
Yeah,
the only other guy you can mention is a guy that's converted from running back in Devin Ford. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're getting into where it's a need.
Yes.
If Drake's not ready to go, you either have to put Jack Kaiser at Mike, which is not ideal.
Nope.
And now you've impacted two positions.
Right.
Or you have to play a true freshman. Same thing at cornerback, right? But a safety especially. And so when I look at Notre Dame, I see a team with a lot of depth at these positions. The problem is it's very talented depth, but it's young depth. And so you go into the spring feeling like, hey, there's some talent there, but can they play? And or are we just basing it off high school rankings and high school films still? So that's been what I've been very happy to see so far, is to see that group, you know, really ready to roll.
Yes.
Really ready to roll. Because this team can't be what it wants to be. It can't. Now, the concern is, let's look at the flip side. The concern is, it's one thing to look good in practice. It's another thing to be ready to be that guy when there's 80,000+ people in the stands.
Sure.
Or when you're at Kyle Fieldhouse at the end of August, or whether you're out in the Coliseum at the end of November, right? That's a different question. So you may look like you and I have seen plenty of this in our years covering Notre Dame, where this kid looked great in practice all spring, fall camp, and then you get to games and it's like, that's not the dude we saw in practice.
Right.
That's a sad reality of it. So there's still a lot to learn about them, but you can't ignore the fact that so far this sophomore class has been impressive. And it's honestly across the board. And there's certain things we haven't seen yet. Somebody asked about, you know, like any sophomore offensive lineman or defensive lineman. I mean, that's been one of the bummers so far of spring ball, is we have seen almost nothing from the defensive line and offensive line. Because when we're there, they're basically just doing sleds and working on each other.
Or they take them outside.
Right.
But
even the drills they're doing are just not things that we can really learn a lot from. We've seen some team stuff. You know, Bubakar had a really nice play in the open practice we had last time where he beat Emil Wagner to have a tackle for loss. And, you know, Brennan Vernon's flash going through drills, which I like to see. You know, so we just haven't been able to see a lot from them. But the same thing is there as well, Vince. We just don't know about that group yet. But it's still a need. They need Jagasol to be ready to go. A lot of the second team depth is going to be the salt. It's Joe Wadding, it's Sam Pendleton, it's Sullivan Absher. Defensive line wise, it's a thing. Hey, listen, they don't need Bubakar to step up and play this year. But as we've said in shows, and I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but Ryan and I have talked about this. But if Bubakar steps up and if the light goes on for Bubakar, he makes that Viper position so much better because he's the most natural pass rusher at that position.
Sure.
So that's another situation, Vince, where there's not a need there like there is at safety and linebacker and corner, but there's a chance for that class to still be impactful.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, there's still a lot to learn about it. But the fact is, so far through half the spring, they look like they're ready to be that guy. Like, there's nobody that I've seen so far and I'm like, I missed on that kid.
Right.
Like, I don't think that kid's as good as I thought he was going to be. There's not one in the sophomore class I can say that about right now. And you and I know every year there's those kids.
Because it's, this is a business where you get to be wrong. I mean, it just is what it is. Now, nobody's perfect as far as those evaluations go, right? And so I agree with you. It just seems like every time we go to a practice, it's these sophomores that are popping. And they're the ones you're like, ooh, okay. Or, you know, they make you turn your head. They make you go, oh, yes, okay, all right. And spoiler alert, there's some of these freshmen that are doing that too. So,
you
want to talk about stacking classes and things like that. I mean, obviously, the sophomore class is Marcus Freeman's first full class as a head coach. This freshman class is even good too.
At certain positions, I think it's better than the sophomore class. At other positions, it's a little bit, I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure.
But the one thing I'll say about the sophomore class is they landed some guys with attitudes that are desperately, and this is the final thing I want to talk about. Some of the swagger we talk about with Jaden Greathouse, Jeremiah Love, a Don Shuler, Christian Gray, is honestly something this team has been lacking for years. They just don't have those guys that step on the field with Ohio State and are like, care about Ohio State. That's part of what made Benjamin Morrison so good. So I don't care who I don't care about Marvin Harrison. I'm not saying he said that, but I'm talking about how he played.
Sure.
You know, his demeanor, his attitude. I don't care if I'm going. That's the kind of matchup I want. I don't care if I'm going against, you know, Caleb Williams. That's the matchup I want. I don't care if I'm going against Drake May. That's the matchup I want. He's played against all those guys, right? And Christian has some of that. Oh, Benjamin and Cam Hart are both hurt. All right, cool. I'm going to lock this Pitt receiver down who ran a 4-4 at the combine. You know what I mean? Like, that's there just hasn't been enough. There's been a lot of great kids and good kids and all this, but there just hasn't been a lot of that. That dude is that's a dog right there, right? And then someone does a punch. I'm like, that guy's good and he knows it. And he wants to make you look bad, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Jaden Greathouse doesn't just want to catch a pass. He wants to have you turning in circles before he catches that pass, right? I mean, that Christian Gray doesn't want to break the pass up. He wants to kind of put you on blast in front of the whole stadium of 80,000 people. You know what I mean? And like Adon Shuler doesn't want to come down and make a tackle. Adon Shuler wants to come down and rock your world. I mean, just drill you to where you're like, I don't know if I want to do this thing anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, though, it's that swagger that they have that's been really just missing from this program. And in the here's what I like. In the past, you'd see these freshmen and sophomore classes come in with that, and Brian Kelly would just beat it out of them.
You're not wrong.
You know, just beat it out of them.
Yeah, right.
And the older guys, the leadership would beat it out of them because, hey, guys, that's not what we do here. Listen to Marcus Freeman give a pre-practice speech and let a senior tell let a senior tell Jaden Greathouse, hey, man, you don't need to be like that. Or Christian Gray, hey, man, you need to pipe down. Just go do your job. Let that happen and see what happens. See what Marcus Freeman says. See what Mike Denbrock says. And that's something that's important. You got to play. You got to execute. But there's something to be said about that confidence, Vince, because in football, if two teams are of equal talent, equal depth, equal coaching, but one team has full belief in themselves and the other team thinks they can be good, there's a difference. I use this as an example. A coach against Mount Union in the third round of the NCAA playoffs, my first year as a coach. I was at Wittenberg. We were 11-1 going to that game. Man, we had our first round game. We went down to Texas and beat Hardin-Simmons on their field. We went down to Thomas More in round two and beat them 41-0 on their field. We're going to play Mount Union, and our kids thought we could beat Mount Union. They truly believed that they could beat Mount Union. They thought they could beat Mount Union. Mount Union took the field knowing that they were going to beat the bricks off of our kids. And the minute, like, any doubt happened, you could just see that sink into our kids, like, and with just Mount, it just was like, it was just a supreme confidence that they were just going to come out and execute and play hard and whoop their butts. You know who one of the defensive ends was on that team, Vince? Matt Campbell, the head coach at Iowa State, was one of the defensive ends for that team. But
I had no idea he played defensive end. Wow, okay.
And he transferred from Pitt to Mount Union.
Okay.
But you could just see it. They just knew that they were going to beat us. And it wasn't like a, let's just show up and roll the balls out. It's a confidence that comes through belief in the process and belief in themselves that if we do what we do, we're going to kick your butt. And that's exactly what happened. And so I've always said there's a difference between thinking you're good and knowing you're good. There's a lot of kids at Notre Dame that have thought they were good over the years, but then they get on that stage against Bama and they don't have that same type of mentality. The kids that you see now at Notre Dame know they're good. And they thrive on that. Now we need to see if they can answer the bell when the lights are brightest. That's still a question mark. But when I watched Jaden Greathouse last year, you know, against Navy, against NC State, against Ohio State, I didn't see a kid that was in any way taken back by the moment. I feel the same way about Jeremiah Love and Christian Gray. Now we have to learn if Drake Bowen's the same way and if Adon Shuler's the same way and Luke Tauch's the same way because those are the unknowns. Those are more of the unknowns. And they're just as important as the kids that we mentioned. And so it's going to be fun to watch. But as you said, Vince, if they're as good as we think they are, it also speaks volumes to the ability of Marcus Freeman, Chad Bowden, and the staff to go out there and recruit big-time players. Because as you said, there's some positions where if that sophomore doesn't step up, there's a freshman waiting on you to have a bad week of practice. I dare you to have a bad day of practice because you may not get that spot back.
But isn't that what it's that whole iron sharpens iron thing. It's that whole competition breeds success. You know, whatever cliche that you want to use, they're cliches because they're real. Okay. Yep. That the high school that my kid goes to, they've been really, really good at football for a long time because it's a big school and there's always somebody behind you ready to take your spot. And I realize that's a smaller version of what we're talking about here, but it's the same mentality. It's the exact same mentality. There's always someone ready to take your spot. When I was coaching at these small, like, inner city schools, like, there wasn't always that person that was pushing the starter. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't always the case. And so you didn't have that, you know, hey, he's pushing me. I can take this rep off, you know, that kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. I love it when the competition is ingrained in the culture and you can tell that Marcus Freeman is ingraining competition into the culture with the way that he structures practice, with the guys that he brings in, you know, in the recruiting classes, all of it. He is breeding a culture of competition, and that is only going to be, I mean, it's going to pay dividends in the end.
And he just went out and hired one of the swaggiest offensive coordinators in football. I mean,
this is also true.
I mean, you and I have known this for, even when he was just a position coach at Notre Dame. I mean, Mike Denbrock's always been kind of that dude that's just like, I know I'm good, and I know we're good, and you know what I mean? Like, and he wants that out of his players. Like, we talked about his first practice. They hit a bomb. Players are celebrating, going crazy. He's like, get back here. That's what we do now. You know what I mean? Like, don't celebrate that. That's what you're expected to do. Exactly. That's who we are. You know what I mean? And that man, when that kicks in, that breeds that. I mean, that's what you've seen from the best programs over the years. That's something that Ohio State had when Urban was there. That's something that Clemson's had for years until somewhat recently. It's something that Bama has. In 2020, Notre Dame thought they could beat Bama. Bama knew they were going to win that game. There's a difference. And Notre Dame is learning that, and hopefully it can kind of keep bleeding through the rest of the program. That's what you're hoping happens. But so, because there's still a lot of unknowns. But that's what gets you excited, Vince, is because you're like, the talent's there. That's what I keep telling people, Vince. How many times you've heard me say this offseason, like, I don't think people realize how talented this football team is. The question is, do they have the experience?
Sure.
Do they have the proven production capability? Do they have the ability? Can they stay healthy? Do they have a strength program that can maximize their there's a lot of those questions that remain to be seen. But when I'm just talking God-given ability, you're like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's something to see. So, we'll see how it goes.
Friendly reminder to everybody, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, the notification bell, share it with your family and friends, and jump on the boards, boards.irishbreakdown.com for all of your intel needs.
Real quick, too, just a reminder to people before we get into part three of the show, tomorrow, 1 o'clock p.m., we will have Coach Deanna Gump on the show. She is the head softball coach at the University of Notre Dame, and we are going to be talking about her team as we do a fundraiser for their program, and they are doing a strikeout cancer fundraiser. It's their annual one. We did it with them last year. We will do it again tomorrow, so we will provide links to everyone to donate directly to their fundraiser, so that way you don't get a portion taken out from YouTube and all that other kind of stuff. But if you also want to give super chats during the show, so we'll do a mailbag afterwards. It'll be super chat only. That's what we do for this one, and it's because every dime that we get from the Super Chats, we will then give to their donate charity, and Irish Breakdown will match whatever you guys raise tomorrow up to $500. So my hope is that tomorrow we raise over $1,000, because not just the $500 that I hope we can raise during the Super Chats, and then we'll match it, but then also a lot of people are going to be able to give directly to the organization. And so it's a fun day. As I said yesterday, I don't know any of us that have not been impacted by cancer in some way, whether it be family members or friends. And so we're gonna try to do our part and help the softball team in their strikeout cancer drive. And we're honored to partner with them last year, and I'm super excited that Coach Gump and their program want to partner with us again this year. So that will be tomorrow. We go live at 1 o'clock. Coach Gump is going to join us at the beginning of the show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So reminder that we're going to be doing that tomorrow.
Love it. Love it. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.